Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 87 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on October 26, 2015. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
You doing good?
Yeah. You excited about the show tonight?
Yeah, very excited. You know, we didn't have a show last week, and now we're back. And we
did our crazy lives, like, don't make us any.
It's been crazy. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete?
Kevin.
What's going on?
What's going on in the world of Disney?
Well, you know, a lot's going on in the world of Disney. We're going to jump into the news real quick. First, some mousekeeping items. If you are an Amazon shopper who's doing any shopping in the near future, we invite you to first go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. Click the Amazon link at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. Only the White Dragon Podcast Network and Two Men and the Mouse gets a small percentage back of what you purchase. It's a great way to help the podcast and the staggering costs of keeping this show on the air as it gets more and more expensive, it seems, every week. Also, if you want to support the show and get something out of it, you can also order a Two Men and the Mouse t-shirt. You can find those at teespring.com/WhiteDragonPN. Also, folks, people ask all the time where we get all of our listener feedback from for the show, and that is our Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/Two Men and the Mouse. You can always join us in there. We're always talking Disney all the time. And you can also check me out on Periscope at White Dragon Podcast Network, where I'll be periscoping from inside the parks. I haven't been doing it a lot lately. There's been a lot going on. You know,
how much is going on?
A lot. Basically, the reason there was no show last week The reason why, like, if anyone's tried to, like, email me or get in contact, or it's been kind of, like, stressful the last couple of weeks, I have launched a brand new website for our other podcast, another podcast here on WDPN called Geek Watchtower. It's geekwatchtower.com. Not only can you listen to that show over there, but it's all geek news. So it's Marvel news, DC news, reviews. We're reviewing, there's also a Disney news section as well. We like to report on, we've reported on The Incredibles 2, you know, a whole bunch of different stuff. So check it out. Geekwatchtower.com. I put a lot of work into it, so, you know, please give it a look-see. We review The Walking Dead, we review Arrow, Flash, Star Wars Rebels, Disney show. We're talking a lot about the Gilmore Girls revival over there. Storybook Julius from Storybook Radio is actually doing our Gilmore Girls reviews.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, getting some Canadian perspective on the Gilmore Girls.
I thought you were trying to bait me into a Gilmore conversation.
Isn't that the best news ever, though, that show's coming back?
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm excited. But we were saying before we got on the air, Melissa McCarthy not coming back to that show. There's no way. Too busy.
I don't know. You know, Netflix has a habit of throwing big money at people. So we'll see. But if you had to ask me to bet on it, I would probably say no.
Yeah. All right. So ready for the news this week. The news brought to you, as always, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you, and compiled off of Orlando Passholder, which you can find at orlpassholder.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your Walt Disney World and Universal Studios news. Okay, so worldwide news. D-Tech Magic Bands are now available in the Magic Kingdom.
I saw this.
Yeah, so basically the D-Tech, for phone cases and stuff, you're able to personalize, get your name on it, get whatever graphic you want, and they make it for you right there. The D-Tech Magic Band, same concept. You can pick from any of the colors, including the new purple one.
How do you feel about this?
I feel like I'm going to buy a personalized Magic Band.
See, I think it's cool. I saw the pictures. I mean, how can you resist that Hitchhiking Ghost one? It's so awesome.
Right.
The problem is, you know, I can't go there and get one.
Yeah, you'd have to get it, like, while you're here.
No, I mean, I'd have to go there and get four of them.
True.
You know, and at that point, it's like, I don't really want to drop $100 on Magic Bands.
Right.
When they sent me a couple of them for free. You know what I mean?
You'd be paying $120 because they are $30 each for the D-Tech Magic Bands.
I thought they were like $21.95 and like $28 if you got them personalized.
Well, yeah, the specialty ones are $21.95, but they're $29.95 if you get them personalized.
Right.
So
I don't know, it just seems like a lot.
It is a lot, especially for something that when you're coming down on a trip, you get for free anyway.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, listen, I have the regular Magic Band that came for free with my annual pass, and I have my Haunted Mansion one. And guess which one I use? I use the Haunted Mansion one.
Now, could you use either one if you wanted?
Yeah, I actually will sometimes go into the parks wearing both, one on each wrist, so I don't have to choose which wrist I fast pass with. I don't like to be told I have to do anything a certain way, you know?
Yeah, that'd be very unlike Disney to ever tell you that.
Yes.
So you can just keep adding magic bands to your collection.
Oh, yeah. I can literally make a magic band sleeve that goes up each arm and have a magic band necklace that goes around my neck, just composed of all magic bands linked together, and they could all be linked to my Disney Experience account, and I could fast pass on any of them. Though that did bite me one time. I was on Test Track, and I designed my car, and I scanned the magic band on my right hand. And then when I got up there, I scanned the magic band on my left hand, and it just gave me some generic car.
Right.
Not the Batmobile that I painstakingly tried to make.
You spent 5 minutes of time making that thing.
I did.
Interesting.
5 minutes I'll never get back.
So I haven't decided if I'm going to do that or not. But
yeah.
Right now I'm leaning towards no.
And I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever hear you even entertain the idea of a specialty magic band. You were always so anti-specialty magic band.
Yeah, I'm not. I still am. I just don't see, you know, a real need for it.
I get you.
And you're talking to somebody who loves souvenirs.
Yeah.
I love spending money.
I know.
I just don't know. I feel like magic bands, it's much like, you know, this phone that I've had for the last like 2.5 years.
Right.
Or my Jeep that I rock until it's going to explode.
Of
like
course.
15 years from now. I feel like they're functional more than fashionable.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Correct.
Like how I wear Crocs. They're functional. They're not fashionable. Okay.
They're definitely not.
They are not fashionable. I get that. Right. Okay, so the Shop Disney Parks app has been updated. Now, not only can you ship items to your home, you can also ship them to your resort hotel or to the front of the park. Now, to ship it to your resort hotel, you have to have an active reservation linked to My Disney Experience. To ship them to the park, you have to be in the park. To which I'm like, well, if you're in the park, why are you shopping on the Shop Disney Parks app?
I know. I just thought that's it.
Why not just shop in the park? But, you know, they're giving you the option.
Yeah.
Right? Are you ready for some Disney Springs news?
Yes, please.
Not Downtown Disney anymore. Never again. Chef Rick Bayless is going to be opening up a restaurant in Disney Springs. It's called Frontera Fresco.
And I'm a big fan of his.
And it is a Mexican restaurant, Peter.
Yeah, that's his specialty.
Yeah.
He actually has a pretty fantastic cookbook. I think he won Top Chef Masters a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
But he specializes in guacamole, which you know is like my favorite thing.
I was about to say, like, what's the guacamole situation?
He has like I think he has an entire cookbook of just guacamoles.
Really?
Yeah, he makes crazy guacamoles.
Huh.
His brother, Skip Bayless, is of course an ESPN personality.
Oh, okay. All right. Of course.
Just,
I knew that.
Dead air.
Yeah, I knew that.
No, but he's actually really talented. Yeah, Mexican is like his specialty.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, a guacamole. I hope they have a bunch of them on the menu.
In resort news, DVC bungalows are coming to Disney's Wilderness Lodge.
Okay.
So now you're going to have DVC on all of the Seven Seas Lagoon resorts.
Had you ever stayed at Wilderness Lodge?
No, and I've never actually even been on property at Wilderness Lodge.
I haven't either. Yet it's the one I always am like, I'm going to do that one day, and I've never gotten around to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for you to step outside your comfort zone with the resorts.
I know.
I know you used to do a whole bunch of different ones. Now I feel like you just always will do either Caribbean Beach or Beach Club.
I know. They're like my standards. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Magic Kingdom news. The Hub expansion has been completed as of a few weeks ago. The final construction wall came down, and it is absolutely gorgeous. You remember like off towards like if you're facing Cinderella Castle off to the left, there was like a little like a little bathroom with water fountains and stuff like that. That is now a really nicely themed snack concession stand.
Oh, okay.
So they have concession stands on each side. And, you know, just the greenery and the new castle spires, which I love. It looks really, really nice. I was just walking through there yesterday.
Who thought they could make the hub even better?
Yeah, right? The only construction walls that are still up are the ones in front of Cinderella Castle right now, or up the sides of Cinderella Castle, because they're building two new big, gorgeous rampways that are going to go up each side of the castle.
Very cool.
That's the last piece of the puzzle. But the hub itself is done. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is officially sold out for the remainder of the year. So, I mean, this being the last week, but, you know, it's done. It's sold out. You can't go. Unless you have a ticket, and then you're more than welcome to go. But it is literally, I don't believe there was a single night of Not So Scary this year that wasn't a sellout.
That's crazy.
It sold out every single night. Okay, so the Disney Christmas Parade will be filming in November 10th to the 13th. And this year it's called the Disney Parks Unforgettable Christmas Celebration. I will point out to you, Peter Mandel, that in nowhere on there does it say parade.
Why is it so early?
I don't know. But do you remember the travesty that was last year's Christmas parade?
Oh, my God. You know that I like to record the Christmas parades.
So do I.
I will DVR them. I will burn them to a DVD and save them forever so that I can watch them on future Christmases.
Right.
Last year, I was like, no one should preserve this.
No. It was awful. It was terrible.
Terrible.
Not only that, they were practically never in Walt Disney World. Everything was Aulani and Disneyland. But there was no parade.
It was bad.
It was literally just like 12-year-old pop stars singing Let It Go over and over and over again.
Which, by the way, I'm cool with, as long as, you know,
there's some parade action going on.
Yeah.
There. Like, listen, you want to show me a lip-syncing pop star? Do what Macy's does on Thanksgiving and put them on a float.
Right. I like that idea, actually.
Yeah. They're going to lip-sync anyway. Might as well just put them on a big thing with the genie in the back of it.
Yeah, don't put them on, like, the roof of Main Street Cinema or whatever they had, you know.
So, yeah. And, you know, Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa were the hosts, right?
Well, you know, this means you have to go to the taping of that.
Do I have to go to cover it for the show?
Yeah, of course. And you have to Periscope it. This way people can just watch the Christmas parade now.
I'll let you know if it's an actual parade. So we'll know. Like, this way, if I'm like, Pete, no floats. You don't have to watch on Christmas morning. You still will, but...
No, of course I have to watch it.
Yeah. Tortuga Tavern, new menu. Following Pecos Bill's Tortuga Tavern, the restaurant that's never open. It seems like every time I go by it, it's never open. They have a new menu. It's all barbecue now.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so you got a barbecue brisket sandwich, barbecue pulled pork, like a nice like Mexican salad. It's and this is all of the sandwiches are on Texas toast.
Oh,
which, you know, I'm
even
big
the pulled
fan.
Pork,
even pulled pork.
Mm.
Saw a picture. It's on nice thick bread, like 2.5-3 inches thick.
Interesting. Beautiful.
Okay, so Epcot news. Benet Al Huwariati. I don't know if I said that correctly.
I'm sure you did.
The band that plays in Morocco,
okay,
has left.
Like, without warning, they've just taken off.
No, I mean we knew it was coming. This is the music group that replaced Moroccan in 2014. Right. They are terrible. They're just terrible. Like, literally, I walked by one day, and it literally just sounded like... It's literally just, like, banging drums that don't... It doesn't even sound like music. And, I don't even know how to describe it.
What if, like, one of their, like, moms is listening?
Then... I don't think so. They were all pretty old.
But I'm just saying.
It was a bunch of old Moroccan ladies who were just playing music that I'm sure in Morocco is wonderful.
That's what makes it authentic.
Well, yes, and I liked the authenticity of it, but I was just like, oh, gosh, no, I don't want to stand and listen to this. Let me put it this way. It ain't no Canadian lumberjack show, and it ain't no French acrobat, and it ain't no British Revolution.
All right. I can respect that.
Yeah. Okay, Soarin'. Soarin's going to finally be closing for that big refurbishment. It's going to become Soarin' around the world.
When's that going down?
January 4th going down.
Wow.
Going to be closed probably the first half of the year, they're saying.
Oh, you don't think it will be open by January 30th?
No. You're not riding Soarin'.
I was hoping they would just stick that new film reel in there.
Well, on the bright side, you now no longer have to worry about that test track.
Yeah, you're right.
That test track fast pass, because right. Soarin's not going to be an option. So the Candlelight Processional hosts have also all been entirely announced for this year now. You ready for that?
Good.
Well, you know, some new ones. November 27th to 29th is Gary Sinise.
Of course.
November 30th to December 3rd, Neil Patrick Harris. December 4th and 5th, Whoopi Goldberg. December 6th to 8th, Joe Morton. December 9th to 11th, Anna Gasteyer. New this year, December 12th to 14th, Meredith Vieira.
Oh, I love her.
I do. I love her. Also new this year, December 15th to 17th, America Ferrara, who I'm not crazy about.
Okay. I'm indifferent.
I had a friend who was an extra on Ugly Betty and just said she was a nightmare on the set.
Really?
Yeah. Like, somebody was, like, humming or something like that, and she, like, freaked out at them because, you know, it was spoiling her concentration. So,
okay.
I'm glad she's not famous anymore. December 18th to 20th, Chandra Wilson from Grey's Anatomy. Also new this year, Daniel Day-Kim, December 21st to 23rd. December 24th to 26th, Edward James Olmos, who I really wanted to see, but I don't think I'm going to, because I'll be back in New Jersey probably for Christmas, which means no Commander Adama.
Also, for
me,
that guy from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, is he on S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, you don't watch... Kevin, how do you not watch S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Because the first five episodes were so terrible that I couldn't... I physically couldn't go on.
I understand that, but listen to me. There is only one successful comic book cinematic universe on our planet, and it's Marvel. How could you not watch a show that directly ties into that?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, listen, I watched Daredevil. When that Jessica Jones trailer, sign me up. But, you know, I could not get into S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't like... You know, when you have to rename your main character because the name Sky now has such awful meaning behind it, it's, you know, it's a problem.
That's not why. She's actually that character in the comic.
Yeah, because they had to make... And do you really think she was that character from the very beginning?
Yes.
No. No way. They had to hit an about face on her real quick.
There's
because
no way.
Everybody hated her. Just how Agent Ward is a bad guy now, because everybody hated him.
No, I disagree.
No, everybody hated that show when it came out. I understand everybody loves it now.
The first eight episodes are painful, but after that, it was fantastic.
I've heard that. I've just never had the time to go back and rewatch. Because in order to get there, I have to rewatch those horrible eight episodes. So every time I've tried to go back and rewatch them, I've been like, I can't do this, and I've turned it off.
Well, it's your responsibility. If you're going to be a representative of all things geek,
I have
like
people to do
show.
That. I have, my brother reviews it for me. My brother writes the S.H.I.E.L.D. reviews.
I feel like you're letting everyone down on that one.
All right, I'll watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
You should really give it a shot. It's fantastic.
You watch S.H.I.E.L.D., but you don't watch The Flash.
No, like I said, there's really only one successful cinematic universe.
No, not true.
I'll watch The Flash when it's...
The Flash and Arrow is very successful. People love those shows.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a cinematic universe.
Oh, you're talking about cinema. Oh, you're talking about movie. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. But...
I have no need to see it. Listen, I've watched the first five episodes of The Flash. They were great.
It's a wonderful show. It's on first season's on Netflix now.
I know. I will watch The Flash when it's a movie.
But the movie's probably not going to be good.
Why do you say that?
Because the show is so wonderful, there's no way the movie could be as good. And the kid that they have, like, Grant Gustin is The Flash. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I also have a hard time watching that kid and things.
Oh, no, he is charm personified. He's wonderful.
He was on 90210.
Oh, here we go.
The reboot, and he was like a really bad guy.
You know, he's not actually that guy, and now he's Barry Allen.
No, I know. I'm explaining to you why, you know.
No, I get it. I do. All right, also December 27th to 28th, Blair Underwood, and December 29th.
Also from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, and December 29th to 30th, Amy Grant.
Also, oh no, but you should really watch. See, look at that. Two S.H.I.E.L.D. guys.
All right.
Dude, Candlelight Processional.
Listen, Edward James Olmos is not a S.H.I.E.L.D. guy. Edward James Olmos is Commander Adama.
Yeah, and he was a commander on S.H.I.E.L.D. You should watch.
Is he still? Or is that a spoiler?
Well, spoiler.
All right. Moving along. Disney's Animal Kingdom news. They have electric vehicle charging stations now available over at DAC.
Oh, wow. How many?
Yep. 4.
Hmm.
Not a lot of people have electric cars.
Yeah, no. I always think about it.
But you know what? I always see people using them.
Yeah.
They have three. There are three locations now where you can charge an electric vehicle on Disney property. Epcot was the first to have one. In the Disney Springs Orange parking lot, up on the very top, they have them. Level 5. And then they have them in Animal Kingdom. So
I feel like those are smart choices for that.
Studios. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our news time here today. Lots of studios news that dropped. Filed permits are showing what the potential for expansion is for Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Oh, bring it. I want to hear this.
Basically, what they're showing is we are correct in the assumption that the park is getting larger. They're not just filling in at normal space.
Right.
They are they're going to be taking up some wetland space currently outside the park with park. So, you know, you're going to have more DHS expanding outward, which they believe is going to be for Star Wars.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're adding a huge chunk of land on the side. And then they're taking the wetlands that they're taking away, and they're building new, like, wetland preserves on another part of the property.
Okay.
And then they are also doing a whole parking overhaul. We're talking new vehicle bridges going into the parking lot. We're talking possibly parking garages for studios. I mean, you're making a Star Wars theme park. People are coming out in droves. So this is going to be the new place to be.
Right.
So, and it'll take the burden off Magic Kingdom a little bit more.
Absolutely, it will.
Yeah, so there you have it. Not a lot of concrete news, but, you know, if you go online, you look up... I got this one... I found these pictures online, and if you go online, you can find them, and it just kind of shows you, like, two different sites, and it's one is the parking, and one is, like, the park expansion, so. I'm very excited they're building onto the park, because that means Muppets may be spared.
Yeah, you're right.
Everyone that's, like, surmised, like, how this is going to be built thinks that the Muppets aren't going anywhere.
I would hope that they're not, you know?
Yeah, pretty much everyone has been like, no, the Muppets are staying where they are. Okay, so Sorcerer Mickey's meet and greet has moved.
Where is it now?
He is now on Mickey Avenue, which, you know, that makes a lot more sense now. He's in the site of the former Legend of Captain Jack Sparrow, which is between Toy Story Midway Mania and One Man's Dream.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bummed out that, like, so much of the... Like, that whole character meet and greet area was, I mean, one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So I'm a little upset about
it. Yeah. Minnie does have a new meet and greet area, though.
Where's
That's
that?
Our next bit of news. It is in the Animation Courtyard, and it is next to Doc McStuffins, and it is themed to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Okay.
And she's in, like, her pink dress from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a full-blown Mickey Mouse Clubhouse mini.
Oh, I like that.
I like that, too. I think that's a really nice touch. Okay, and finally, in the news this week, we have a Star Wars hard ticket event coming to DHS on December 17th. So basically, this event takes place in two locations, Peter Mandel. First one starts off in Disney Springs at AMC, where you will watch one of the first showings of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Then you will go to Disney's Hollywood Studios for a private party from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. You will have access to the Star Wars launch bay, Star Tours, and a DJ dance party. That's it. At 12:45, there will be a preview of the Season of the Force fireworks, which are going to be debuting in 2016. And tickets are available at amctheaters.com/StarWarsWDW.
What does this cost?
It was well enough over $100 where I was like, absolutely not.
Wow.
Absolutely not. Like, to see a movie that I'm going to see anyway and get into a park that I have an annual pass to. And only be able to go into the Star Wars Hangar Bay, Star Tours, and a DJ dance party that I want no part of, and to see a preview of fireworks, you're going to charge me over $100? No.
Well, who are they having DJing? Is it going to be Lobot? Because...
It might be DJ Lobot, but I'll see DJ Lobot during Seasons of the Force, I'm sure.
I mean, if they got Lobot to DJ, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but it's going to be awesome 2 weeks late, you know, 3 weeks later in January when Seasons of the Force starts, and I can go in with my annual pass.
Now, have you purchased your ticket for Star Wars yet?
Yes.
When are you going?
Well, all of the early showings were taken up by this nonsense.
Right.
So I had to get them. I'm going to midnight.
Okay,
I'm
on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm doing a midnight on Thursday in Disney Springs.
I'm not. We're doing late too. We're doing like 10:30 because, you know, it's hard because the shop's open till 8, and it's such a, you know, it's the week before Christmas. It's a fairly busy time for me.
Right.
So we are doing 10:30, much to the chagrin of my wife, who is like, "Do you have to bring Ethan? That's a school night."
It's Star Wars Episode 7. You should explain that to her.
Yes, that takes precedence.
Did you show her the trailer and be like, "Look at this"?
Yeah, yeah, we all watched it.
How about that trailer, by the way?
I think it looks cool.
Oh my gosh. How about that trailer?
The best part is that temple.
Yes.
That thing's so cool.
Yeah.
Tons of hidden stuff on there.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Now, do you love, like I love, that we have not seen Luke Skywalker yet?
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, give my theories as to why we haven't seen him yet.
I have a theory, too. And my theory was actually brought up by my friend Adam, who literally, when he said it, I was like, how dare you? How dare you? And then I thought about it, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah, I think Adam's right.
I think Adam's right, too.
I don't know what the theory that you're talking about is.
We'll talk about it over commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, people are going to go bananas when they see Luke for the first time. And because you haven't seen him. When you see Mark Hamill, you see M. Ham rocking that beard, you're gonna go nuts.
You think so?
Yeah. No, I think so.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So that is the news this week.
That's a good amount of news.
Good amount of news, yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear from our sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we will be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer, folks. Take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Folks, we here at WDPN love Disney, and that should come as no surprise to anyone. But we never lose sight of the fact that the entire Disney universe sprung forth from the mind of one man. Walter Elias Disney and his tireless quest to create magic has inspired all of us for decades upon decades. But there's so much we can learn from a man like Walt Disney, who so embodies the ideas of chasing your dreams and daring to believe. And perhaps Walt's greatest accomplishment and journey was the creation of his ultimate dream, Disneyland. But how can you apply the shining examples this man set on his way to creating a landmark that has stood for six decades to your own life? you can find out in The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, a new book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes. Jeff examines the incredible journey Walt undertook to create Disneyland and the lessons he garnered from years of hard work and American ingenuity. He encapsulates it perfectly and then shows you how to apply this to your own daily life. Furthermore, he examines what the park means to the Disney universe, the United States, and the entire world, showcasing what can happen when a dream truly becomes immortal and outlives the man who created it. What better way to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Disneyland than by reliving the adventurous, real-life endeavor of a man who dared to dream the impossible and brought so much joy into our lives as a result, and then apply his journey to your own life in the end? To pick up your autographed copy of The Wisdom of Walt, visit thewisdomofwalt.com or download the ebook copy from the Amazon Kindle store and start applying the wisdom of Walt to your life today.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Folks, there's so many iconic sites at Walt Disney World, from Spaceship Earth to Cinderella Castle to Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain. I mean, you name it, you can find it all on a park map, you can find it in a guidebook. But what about the things that we can't find right away? What about those hidden gems of Walt Disney World that exist off the beaten path? Those things that you won't find on a guide map, that you won't read about in the Disney Parks blog. So that is why this week, Pete and I wanted to highlight some of our favorite hidden gems of Walt Disney World. You ready for this one?
I am.
I want to go park by park like we usually do and just kind of talk about like those hidden, off the beaten path, things you don't find on a guide map kind of things. Like, I think that's the criteria. Not on a guide map. And, you know, I think that's probably it. Like it's not something that's advertised as something
right.
You can do.
You want to start with Magic Kingdom?
No. Because there's the most in Magic Kingdom.
One day, I would like to start one thing with Magic Kingdom.
Maybe if we do, like, I don't know. There will come a day. We can't start this one with Magic Kingdom. There's too much.
Right,
we can start this one
start?
With Animal Kingdom, because there's only, like, I only have three things.
Okay.
So one of my favorite hidden gems of Animal Kingdom is in Dinosaur. Okay, when you're in the queue line, you know, like, when you get into the area like, where it's time to get into the cars?
Yeah.
Well, they have these, there's a red, like, tube, a yellow tube, and a white tube that are, like, going into all the things, like, powering the time rovers.
Right, the tubes.
Yeah, and there's a chemical compound listed on each tube. Do you know what those are?
I do not.
Ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise.
Oh, that's awesome.
The chemical compound for condiments. Yeah. Just heard about that one today.
That's very cool.
Yeah. By favorite, I mean I'm looking forward to noticing it next time I go. Another one is your famed picture spot.
Yeah.
I checked that out. It is
pretty
cool.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah.
It is like taking a peek into a little tiny view of like perfect tree of life.
Yes, absolutely.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I had was the Dole Whip with rum. It's not.
Yeah, you talked about this.
Like, yes, it's on the menu, but the rum Dole Whip is such a. And nobody knows that. A lot of people don't know that it's there. Like when I tell people you can get a Dole Whip with rum, their eyes light up.
Right. It's the rum Dole.
Or the Dole Rum. So. Yeah. So anyway, the that is definitely. That's definitely a biggie. What about you? Anything for Animal Kingdom?
I don't know. Now, like, I know how much you love Divine. Is Divine on the map? Does she count?
Oh, you know what? Divine does count. I hadn't thought about Divine.
I feel like she's like something that's like, now the difference is you can't go and always see her.
Right. You have to find her.
That's like a super gem of, you know, gems.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know?
100% with you on that.
Cool.
I can't believe I hadn't thought of that. There's nothing like on the safari, though, like, you know, maybe like the Mickey Island on the safari, but, you know.
Yeah, technically a hidden Mickey. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of cool little.
Yeah. Animal Kingdom really not the place for this topic, so we had to just kind of get it out of the way.
Right.
Ready for Epcot?
Yes.
All right, in Epcot. There, I'm going right away to the Canada Pavilion, my favorite spot in Epcot. And there is, if you are over by the Mercantile store, there are some stairs leading up. And one day I'm standing there, and I'm like, well, what's up there? I walked up there. There's a whole other section to Canada that nobody goes to.
Okay.
I walked up these stairs, and it is this quiet, serene little area overlooking a waterfall, benches, devoid. And this was a crowded day in Epcot, devoid of people. And I was like, I claim this land in the name of Kevin Kessler. Like, it's my spot now.
And you put a flag down?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go there.
It's really nice. It was just this really nice little quiet area that no one else was in. Like one other time I went up there and there were like two other people up there and I was just like, what are you doing in my spot? Like, get out. But, you know, there's like all these doors and stuff. Like, it was really neat. Like, I liked it a lot. There's nothing up there, but I like that there's nothing up there because
right.
That means people aren't going up there. It's a nice spot. Take your Moosehead Lager, kick back. You know, think about hockey and just enjoy the serene tranquility that is the Canada Pavilion. So, yeah. Another one for me is the Croque de Glacier in France. That is the ice cream brioche sandwich that I feel like a lot of people don't know is there. Because that ice cream shop is tucked back in that corner in France.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way back
there. It's way back there. Like, we're talking, like, you got to go back towards, like, where the perfume shop's in, like, over to where, like, Impressions de France is, but you make a left down that little street, and it's right there on that bend before you get to the end. That ice cream shop is key. Like, that Croque de Glace, that is one of the greatest ice cream treats I've ever had in my life.
Where would that rank on your top 10 frozen treats?
Did we not have it on there last week?
No, you forgot it.
Oh, wow. That would have been up there.
I know. I'm getting one next time I go.
Yeah, no, it's great. Also, if you have a Disney Visa from Chase, there is a Disney Visa character spot in Epcot. It's in Interventions West. And it's awesome. I love it. If you are like, I definitely want to get Fab Five and I don't want to wait in a long line, I have never waited more than 5 minutes for it. If there's another family in front of you, it's usually one other family. They come in, they get out. The thing I love about it the most, though, Pete, is that you don't know who you're getting until you get in there.
Now, who have you seen there?
I have gotten a combination of Mickey and Goofy and a combination of Minnie and Pluto.
Is it always open?
It closes at 7. So it's got the hours on it, but yeah, it's open during the day.
Is there always a photo pass photographer?
Yes.
That's nice. I like that.
Always a photo pass photographer. Never a wait. You walk in there and it's cool. It's like I'm waiting for either the Mickey Donald combo or the Donald Goofy combo,
yeah.
But I don't think I've never seen Donald in there.
Donald's always tough for some reason.
Yeah, I know. They don't like to bring him out. I liked the Minnie Pluto combo, though. That was really nice.
Yeah, that's cute.
I've heard people say you can get Mickey and Minnie in there together.
I believe that.
But Mickey and Goofy was nice, too, because it was like a bro picture, you know?
Right.
But I'm always excited to see which combination you're going to get. You never know.
No, you never know.
Okay, so the oyster pearls in Japan is another one for me. So that is,
you like that.
Yep, you pick out an oyster, they take it out, they crack them open, and you get the pearl that's inside. So it's like buyer beware, you know, like it's, you have to choose wisely.
Right. The blind box.
Yes, blind box, yes. It's like a mystery of Vinylmation.
Yeah.
During Food and Wine Festival, they have a bunch of Remy the Rats. They're all like, they're interspersed throughout World Showcase, and it's called Hide and Squeak.
Okay.
So you have to try to find the Remy's and like mark them off on your map.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I thought that was a really neat little thing. A lot of people overlook it. Now this is my biggie. Character Palooza at Epcot. Because you know what Character Palooza is?
No.
Character Palooza is Character Palooza is the hidden gem of Walt Disney World, in my opinion. And you can find it in Epcot and you can find it in Hollywood Studios when they do it. It is when new cast members are being trained to work with the characters, they will make them into some random, like rare character and just parade them all out randomly. And in Epcot, it happens between Canada and the UK in that big area where they have like that building.
Right. Usually,
if you go there and that door and that gateway is open, look. Because that's where I got Brer Fox. It's where I got Pinocchio, that weird country bear. And who else was out there? A Bolt was out there, too.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then a little ways down the road, they were doing another one with the Fab Five. And that's where I got Classic Donald.
Huh.
So when you're
I wonder how often that happens.
Yeah, they. I'm not sure. Like I said, it's not something that you can time. Kenny the Pirate, if you ever go on Kenny the Pirate, sometimes he'll have it up. And I don't know how he gets it, but you have to pay for that, and I'm not paying for Kenny the Pirate.
Right.
But yeah, it was, and they had some other really rare character in England that day, too, because it was like a big like character training day, apparently.
Wow.
So that is my favorite hidden gem, is Character Palooza.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, the one in Studios is even better. We'll get there when we talk about Studios. There's a shot in Norway called the Glacier Shot. It's obviously an adult beverage. There's something about the Glacier Shot where I think it, like, my friend Erin is screaming at the phone right now listening to this because we had the Glacier Shot together and it was explained to me what it, like the whole thing with it. But there is a game that you play with the Glacier Shot. It's like a challenge. Like, you have to take the shot and keep a straight face because it's strong.
Okay.
Grapefruit beer is another one, another hidden gem I like to think of in Epcot. It's you can, but you know. The grapefruit beer is great. It's like $8.99 for a cup of it, but it's Schafferhofer, and you can get it at your local liquor store for $9.99 for a six pack, which is what I did. So, and then I love the French acrobats.
Yeah,
when Pierre on a chair starts doing his thing,
is that your favorite of all the World Showcase entertainment?
I mean, I haven't seen the Canada Lumberjacks yet. But
I mean, I've seen. That I would French say he,
that's the
a
most.
Couple times.
Yeah, I would say,
and I always think he's gonna die.
I always do. I would say that he's probably the most impressive one.
Yeah, that thing's crazy.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for years. I remember seeing it in like early 2000s.
I mean, it's frightening. Like, I almost don't want to get too close to it.
100%, I'm with you on that. Okay, you have anything for Epcot? Like, what's a nice hidden thing you like to do in Epcot?
I'm going to tell you something that is completely not hidden in any way, shape, or form.
Spaceship
but
Earth.
I can tell. Yeah, Spaceship Earth. No, that's completely, to me, sometimes, like, I'll say unappreciated. I love the Fountain of Nations.
Yes.
I know everyone walks by. It's, the big fountain. I'm telling you, when my kids were little, like, they loved it. It was, like, a thing for them. Like, it was as much an attraction as anything else in Epcot.
You know, the Fountain of Nations off to the left, like, if you're looking at Spaceship Earth, off to the left, they have those water jets that spout water up. Did your kids ever like play in that and got like all wet? And
Yeah, last time we were there, they did. Oh. Which is funny. When they were little, they were like, no, we don't really want to get wet. And now they're just like, we're just going to do it.
It's hot out.
So, yeah, if it's, you know, it wasn't even that hot out. But I was like, go for it. We're in Disney. It was actually one of the times was when, you know, my last trip, Heather was sick for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the three of us. I'm like, whatever. Go for it.
Yeah.
And they did go for it.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Did you buy them new clothes?
Nah, we dried off.
My brother, when he was really little, my brother Rob, he went in the one that used to be over by Ariel's Grotto in the old Fantasyland.
Yeah, I remember Ethan ran through that one.
Yeah, and he was drenched. My mom had to buy him a whole new outfit.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, so anything else for Epcot?
No.
Now, you know what? How about that? Because you've been up there. I have not, because I haven't been invited yet like you were. But the VIP, the Siemens VIP room in Spaceship Earth.
Very cool. I appreciate the ability to go up there. It was neat to kind of just take pictures from up there, looking down upon.
What's the view?
You're looking out the back of Spaceship Earth. You know where the
but you're not like up in like the sphere. You're like
no. If you you'll see it next time you go in there. If you walk behind Spaceship Earth, so you're fully into
that blue.
There's
thing?
Actually like windows right there.
Uh-huh.
It overlooks like the topiaries.
Okay.
That they kind of put up right there.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you were smack dab in the center, overlooking.
And
future.
What's in it? Like what was it like? Couches and air conditioning and bottles of water and stuff. That's usually
yeah.
What
they had refreshments.
Have.
They had like a soda machine.
Nice.
They had a really cool touch screen.
Ooh.
Like that the kids could play with. It was all sorts of like semen stuff. That
cool.
Was kind of neat. You know, and they have a conference room and stuff like that. Bathroom.
Very nice.
Listen, the most exciting thing for me was you get to walk through a little. You walk down the stairs into a hallway that takes you to the VIP entrance
uh-huh.
of Spaceship Earth.
Oh, so you get right onto Spaceship Earth after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah, that was
really,
cool.
really neat. All right. Anything else for Epcot? Or are we ready to move on to Studios?
I want to hear Studios.
All right. Disney's Hollywood Studios. The Muppet Key, first and foremost.
I know. You and that Muppet Key.
Yep. Basically, it says key under the mat. You lift up the mat. There's the key. Glued to the floor. The Indiana Jones rope. Do not pull this rope.
Okay.
That's just a little hidden thing that I like, you know. At night, have you ever gone by Star Tours at night and listened?
No, why? What's the difference?
If you go outside of Star Tours at night, apparently you can hear the Ewoks chanting and like talking to each other.
Is that true?
Yeah. No, I've looked it up online. Somebody told me about it, and I was like, pshaw. And then I looked it up. No, that's true.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. You can supposedly you can see like little campfires too or something like that. Like they illuminate like something with the lighting in the tree.
Where like up in the village?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're not, however, singing the Yub Nyub song.
Right. That's why I don't care.
Right. Exactly. The Singing in the Rain umbrella.
Yeah, super cool.
Super duper cool.
Everyone takes that picture.
Everyone does. I love watching people take that picture. I don't usually take it.
Is Herbie's not out there anymore, is he?
I don't think so.
Remember Herbie used to be right out there?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. Mr. Gold's Pawn Shop from Once Upon a Time on the Streets of America.
I hope that's still there next time I go.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because they put it up after we went, and you know Ethan is obsessed
with Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time.
And
you
know,
have you seen it?
What?
Have you seen the Mr. Gold Pawn Shop?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
It's cool?
It's really cool. You can't, like, go in it, obviously. It's
no,
just
no,
a storefront. But it's got, like, all the fairies' wands in the window. It's got, like, a bunch of, like, different props and stuff from the show. And then on the stoop is the Daily Mirror.
Oh, cool.
The newspaper. And it's got, like, it's got some kind of story on the front of it and stuff. So, yeah, it's very, very well done. And it looks like the front of the shop from the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I first saw it, I couldn't believe it. The other thing, there is a Roger Rabbit window somewhere in DHS.
Really?
Yeah, you look up and it's the offices of Valiant and Valiant.
Huh. Wonder where that is.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know where it is. I've just seen pictures of it, so I need to actually like look for it next time and find it. It's probably in, I would assume it's in the San Francisco.
Right, me
area,
too.
But it might not be there. I don't know. I'm going to really look for it next time. You know what? I debated on putting this one up here, but I think enough people don't know about it that I'm going to put it up there. And that is the Writer's Stop Carrot Cake Cookie.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's tremendous. It's amazing, this carrot cake cookie.
Isn't that, like, the best-selling snack in all?
It is the number two most popular snack in Walt Disney World.
It cannot be the number.
It is.
It can't be.
It is.
It can't be.
It is.
It cannot be.
I've heard it from enough people that I think it is, including the people that worked in there.
But it makes no sense that, like, just the sheer logistics of the fact that, like, the Mickey Premium Bar is sold at how many locations?
Not number two best selling. Number two most popular by fan vote.
Oh, but, like, where? Like, where's that vote going?
I think Disney Parks must have done it. I don't know. It seemed pretty official to me. But yeah, so that cookie cannot be missed. The street performers on Hollywood Boulevard. I like them.
Like the Streetmosphere?
Yeah, I like them a lot.
I like them too. I like seeing them. Like, I mean, typically my kids run from Streetmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I see like that director guy out there, like talking to someone, like little kids, it always makes me happy.
Yeah. And of course, Character Palooza in Studios is no joke. Like Epcot's is good, but Studios, like, characters I've seen at Character Palooza, or at least heard of being there, I've seen Max and Goofy out together.
Oh, that's cool.
That was like, oh my gosh. Bolt, Mary Poppins Penguins.
Okay.
I've heard of the genie being out there. I've heard of like Mulan characters being out there. Pocahontas characters being out there, and everyone's like, who's that guy? Did you see that Saturday Night Live sketch where Toby Keith played John Smith at Walt Disney World and nobody wanted to take a picture with him?
No. How old is that?
It just happened.
Really?
I got to send it to you. It starts off with like Gaston leaving.
Who hosted that episode?
I think it was Toby Keith.
Oh, I must have totally missed it.
And he comes out, and the guy in like full cast member vest with the name tag and everything is just like, no wait whatsoever to meet John Smith. And he keeps doing it over and over and over again. And then like going to college, Andy's got like a 3-hour wait. And like the wife that dies in the beginning of Up has got like an hour long wait. And people keep coming up to John Smith and being like, my son wants to know if you're blonde Aladdin.
That's great. Oh, I have to see that.
Yeah, you know, it's hysterical. Okay, so finally Magic Kingdom, the main event of out there, you know? The names in the windows on Main Street.
Of course.
Of course.
You know, they sell a nice book right in on Main Street about
the names. I'm probably going to get that then.
I have it somewhere. It's not huge. It's not like a giant book. It's like a short little...
A little pamphlet almost.
I mean, it's a must-have.
Okay. The Castle Dream Suite. If you're ever, you know, lucky enough to see it,
if you're be so lucky.
Yeah. Right. Okay. My best friend TJ was in town this weekend, and, from my friend, one of my wrestling friends from back home.
Now is he named TJ after the Gilmore Girls character?
Yeah, actually. But yeah, no, we went to Universal on Saturday.
Okay.
So we're standing there talking, we get off the Spider-Man ride and we're standing there talking about the Spider-Man ride in the gift shop. Cause that ride's awesome. So, like, we're both big Spider-Man fans. So we're talking. All of a sudden, I feel someone tap me on the shoulder and go, hey, guys, what are we talking about? It's Spider-Man. And I'm like,
okay.
And so he's frozen in, like, this, like, awe that we're talking
right,
to,
he's
to
just,
the
he's
Spider-Man.
Just Spider-Man. Right.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, we're talking about your ride? He goes, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, it's really cool. What, you know, I'm going to be over there across the street. Guys, come on over. We'll talk about it. And then, like, he leaves and runs over to his character spot. Like, so that was an awesome moment. And then the next day, he goes on Star Tours for the first time in his life. Rebel Spy.
Let me tell you, first off, I was Rebel Spy, my first ride also.
I know.
I was going to do Spider-Man. This is probably 2004. And as we were going through the Daily Bugle / queue line, Spider-Man was in there in one of the offices, like perched up on like the railing, just taking pictures with people on the
awesome.
Line.
See, how Universal cool lets those characters do more. Like, we got out of there and like Doom was taking pictures. So my friend Mike wanted to get in line, and take a picture with Doom. But then the Green Goblin just bursts out of the gift shop and like he's cackling and he's just running up to random people and like staring them down or like making them uncomfortable. He's not like people aren't lining up for him. There is no handler with him. He's just running around. He's literally just running around messing with people. And then the greatest thing ever happened, because we're standing over where the Spider-Man meet and greet is, and I see the Green Goblin run inside. It's silent for a second, and then all of a sudden, Green Goblin and Spider-Man come running out, and Spider-Man is chasing him out of his meet and greet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, it was, I'm sorry, I have to say it was Universal magic. Like, it was awesome with Disney characters.
But I do have a Green Goblin also. When we were exiting the Spider-Man line, you actually walk through that kind of dark hallway in a way that leads to the store.
Yeah.
The Goblin was hiding behind that, like, the alcove in the wall, and jumped out in front of me and Heather and pretty much scared us to death and, like, screamed at us. And we were both like, I mean, I immediately, when I saw him jumped out, was like petrified and grabbing my camera at the same time. I'm like, let me get a picture. Whereas Heather was just terrified.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't talk about the Green Goblin.
I did get a picture out of that.
Ah, awesome.
Also, by the way, meeting Dr. Doom, I had a Spider-Man tee on. Heather had a Spider-Man sweatshirt, and he would not take the picture. So he literally took his fist and crumpled up my t-shirt so you couldn't see it, and took his cape and held it over Heather's sweatshirt.
Oh, my gosh.
So you got no heroes in the picture.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That Doom costume's pretty legit, too. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like Doom should be a jerk, so I like that.
Yeah, I do. I agree. Okay, so have you ever heard the dance lessons, the dance and voice lessons on Main Street?
No.
As you're walking down Main Street, you know that you have that offshoot to the right where you've got where there's that Sorcerer of the Magic Kingdom location and whatnot. There's the dance studio is right there across. So if you sit, we sat down on a bench, a friend and I, and we're sitting there, and she's just like, just listen, just listen. And sure enough, I heard tap dance classes coming from the dance studio.
Oh,
and
then, that's cool.
And then voice lessons. Like, it was just such a nice, cool little touch. There was also a Keys to the Kingdom tour that was, like, stepping off right there, and so we sat there and listened to it.
Little bonus.
We wanted to follow along with the tour the whole day to see if anyone noticed, and then, like, walk into Columbia Harbor House and be like, where's my tuna sandwich?
Oh, that's great.
I'm not going to say what happens, but, I mean, listen, it's not anything, like, spectacular, but wait in the stretching room at the end of in Haunted Mansion. Just wait. Be the last ones out and just listen. Because you hear things. And it's cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's neat. I like it. There's also a secret room in the Haunted Mansion, if you know where to look. It's like a door that you can open, and it's got, like, the little, like, you know, like, in, like, old mansions like that, where, like, if to ring for the servants, they pull on the little thing and it rings a bell down in the servants' quarters.
Yep.
There's one of those rooms in where it's like all of the different, like, bells there for the different rooms. You can find it. I don't know if you're supposed to go in there, but it's there.
So. Have you gone into it?
No, I've never had the guts to do it. There's also somewhere, I know where the Sally is, but I can't find her. I just know the general area. But there's a hidden Jack and Sally, Jack Skellington and Sally in Haunted Mansion somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Sally, I know, is in the attic right off to the right, like the second you get into the attic. I've just never been able to find it. Like, my friend pointed at it one time and I still couldn't see it.
Now, what is it? What is it? A drawing?
It's a doll.
It's like
a doll.
Okay.
Like, sitting there, but it's just like a nice little nod.
Oh, you're going to have to look for that.
Yeah. The ring at the Haunted Mansion, which I know where it is now.
Where is it?
It's when you're going through the Haunted Mansion queue, you know where, like, the captain's grave is with, like, the bubbles and the water. It's the garbage can right next to it. The ring is in the ground right next to the garbage can.
Oh, I'm going to look for that too. Yep. Nice one.
The Thaddeus Toad Pet Cemetery Memorial for Mr. Yep. Toad's Wild Ride. All the gravestones, and if you know, like, the meanings behind a lot of them, like, for the Imagineers and whatever. The owl with Mr. Toad on Winnie the Pooh. The knotless carved into the tree at Pooh's Thoughtful Spots. Over by the Punzi Pooper, the Rapunzel bathrooms. There are horse tracks in the ground, like hoof prints, which, like, there are those by Haunted Mansion, too. But if you look at some of them, they say Maximus inside.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to look at that, but yeah. I probably won't, actually.
Yeah.
I don't typically go to that bathroom.
It's just a neat little... Oh, that's the only bathroom I'll use in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, really?
It's so well-themed. It's a well-themed bathroom. Yes, I said it.
Like, inside the bathroom?
Yeah. It's got, like, frying pans on the wall and, like, wanted posters of all, like, the criminals from Tangled. And apparently the ladies' room, from what I'm told, has all, like, Rapunzel's, like, art and drawings on the wall.
Now, did you go inside the ladies' room as well to see this?
No, they tend to frown on it. I was thinking about, like, trying to pull, like, a Tootsie and, like, going in dressed as a woman just to get in there.
And then you could, like, periscope from the ladies' room.
Yeah, I would think that might be frowned upon.
If you need to get bailed out, I'm sure, you know, we
could
chip in.
Yeah, I'm sure we could start a GoFundMe. So over in, we're still in Liberty Square. Remember where I told you you can get that corn on the cob?
Yeah.
That the corn on the cob is a hidden gem. It's not on the actual menu. Sorry, that was my phone. It's not on the actual menu.
So how do I get it?
You just need to see. They don't always have it either. Like, you have to look and see if they have the big silver grill out there and if they're grilling. And then just say, I want the corn. And they'll give it to you. But it's not on the thing. Also, what they sell there, I just found out, individually wrapped chilled pickles.
Hmm.
I was like, wow. It's also one of the few places you can get a seltzer water on property. And I like seltzer water, so.
Who knew that?
Yeah, I did. Now I do. The Dreams Come True Fountain with Cinderella, where if you get low enough, the crown rests on her head.
Yeah, love that. I always take a picture of that.
The Castle Couture dress. When you go into Castle Couture, Aurora's dress is behind the register, and it keeps changing from pink to blue. The Wishing Well over on the side of the castle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that Wishing Well. It's pretty cool. Speaking of Spider-Man moments, they have a there was a Spider-Man Halloween costumer that was crouched on the well the other night before Mickey's Not So Scary.
That seems dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, the piano player at Hot Dog or at Casey's.
That's just call it Hot Dog.
Yeah, man. No, we call it. It's just officially referred to as Hot. They have like a happy. It's always the same guy.
Yeah, I've seen him many a time.
And he's just this happy, older Asian gentleman who is just, like, really happy to be playing the piano there. And he's great.
Wouldn't you be?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, think about it. A, you now have a musical skill.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you get to exhibit that at the happiest place on Earth.
Most magical place on Earth. Because isn't Disneyland the happiest place on Earth?
I was giving you the benefit here.
Oh, okay. The Dapper Dans.
Okay.
I love whenever I find them out and about. The citizens of Main Street. The mayor and all them. In the Hall of Presidents, if you look over by towards the where the overlooking the Haunted Mansion, in the window, they have Paul Revere's lanterns, the one if by land, two if by sea.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Disney Family
now,
Code of...
You mentioned the citizens of Main Street. What about, aren't there now in Fantasyland?
There are citizens of Fantasyland as well.
I find that they're out a lot now with new Fantasyland being complete. I think they're really cool. I always see them out and talking to people.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. The clowns over in Storybook Circus, not as cool.
No.
Because there are people that don't like that.
My sister-in-law is terrified of clowns, and they really frightened her, as well as putting a clown nose on my mother-in-law.
It's horrible.
And she was, like, in a wheelchair, so, like,
so she couldn't,
like, roll anywhere,
wheelchair
really.
Wheelchair or scooter?
Wheelchair. Like, a straight-up old-school wheelchair.
Oh, my grandfather did the scooter when they were here.
When who was here? The clowns? Or
my grandfather.
Oh, okay.
The Disney Family Coat of Arms can be found inside Cinderella Castle.
Okay.
When you pass through, it's up on the wall. And the Sword in the Stone, probably one of the most famous.
Definitely.
Anything you got for Magic Kingdom?
I don't know, man. I think you covered all of them.
Yeah. Ready to hear what our friends around the world have to say about this topic?
Yeah, I'm sure someone has one we missed.
Yep. Brian Reynolds says, the kiss goodnight. That's a good one. He says, not only is it not on the map or schedule, but it's not something that everyone knows about. Experience the kiss goodnight followed by strolling down Main Street USA with 100 feet of elbow room is one of the most intimate experiences there can be. Yeah. The kiss goodnight. It's like the little ceremony they do right when the park closes. Adam Blistein says, do the fiber optic lights in the ground by innovations count? I love those fiber optic lights.
I agree. That's an awesome one.
Yeah. Leah Alton says, if you go to Castle Couture or the barbershop, they can spray your hair with the glitter spray from Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I'm going to try that. Leah Alton also does our Walking Dead reviews on GeekWatchTower.com. Carrie Ann Rudolph says, the Sword in the Stone is a favorite stop and picture spot for us. Julie Hyland says, if I tell, then everyone will want to do it too. Too many things to count, but shh. The people mover at night, especially when the castle dream lights are on. Add that to the Jungle Cruise and Splash Mountain and Swiss Family Treehouse at night. Swiss Family Treehouse, I'd like to live there. Believe it or not, most of Morocco is a hidden gem in plain sight. We love Restaurant Marrakesh. Splash Mountain during the fireworks. Carousel of Progress. Turning a couple drinks at the California Grill Lounge to a full meal. Lots of spots at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Not so secret, but we love Ohana Breakfast. Most people don't like give this top rating as a character meal, but we do. And a couple that are secrets that I won't tell. I'm going to get her to tell me those. Jeff Benke says, relaxing at the backside of Cinderella's Castle, right outside of Tinkerbell's Treasures. Levon says, cool spot in Epcot is pretty cool. I think he means Club Cool. Trying the drinks from around the world. Club Cool is another is a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Bernie Lawson says, second floor outside balcony seats at Pinocchio's Village House. It's a great place to relax with a cool drink and take in Fantasyland. Tony Stevens says, I enjoy hearing the street performers at downtown, or I mean Disney Springs. Katarina Dupree says, I love singing in the rain umbrella at the bottom of the streets of America. I had read something about it online before our last family trip in 2014. When I stood under it, it shocked my parents and brother. Now it will be something I have to do every trip as long as it stays there. It's not staying there. Leah Alton says, oh, one more. If a cast member gives you a quiz at One Man's Dream, you can get an honorary Citizen of Disney World button. That's an interesting one.
Oh, that's neat.
Christina McSheffrey says, for any first-time Mickey's Not So Scary attendees, you can actually enter the park at 4 p.m., even though the party doesn't start until 7. Also, it's known not everyone does one of the behind-the-scenes tours. The Keys to the Kingdom tour was one of the best things I've ever done. It doesn't spoil the magic at all. In fact, it makes you appreciate the things you may overlook during your visits, like the names in the windows down Main Street, where the stage begins for cast members, or the Hidden Donald in the Haunted Mansion. I definitely do it again. Hidden Donald. That's interesting. Mike Fernandez says, one of my favorite things to do that not a lot of people know about is collecting transportation cards. That's a good one.
Yeah, we have a couple of them.
Yeah. Kate Smith from Mouselaneous Discussions says, pulling the rope next to Indiana Jones where the well is. First time I showed my husband, he freaked out and now always wants to go there to pull it. And if you don't know, the well talks back to you. Jillian Lasseter replies to that saying, I love this. I pulled it last time and walked away while people were in awe. Christina McSheffrey says, can I add that if you're at Muppet Vision, you should look under the mat? Amanda Welker says, I like Maximus's hoof marks in the ground at the Rapunzel bathrooms, and the Gravedigger in Haunted Mansion is also on Jungle Cruise. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Ashley Robinson says, watching clueless people walk by the camel next to the magic carpet ride. Ashley Robinson, who you're creaming in fantasy football right now.
I'm just having a very lucky streak.
Yes. Michael Bobeichel says, the seats, all the benches, chairs, bar stools, steps, ledges, and fountain edges, etc., that provide a place to relax, people watch, eat, drink, or just soak up the atmosphere. Sometimes the best moments of a Walt Disney World vacation are just spent sitting. Kate Schneck says, a window seat at Ohana during wishes, specifically while drinking a Lapu Lapu. Mike McBath says, riding the friendship boats. Jillian Lasseter says, the solitary bench between the boats and monorail at Magic Kingdom is so relaxing. That is actually, Peter Mandel, my favorite spot outside the Magic Kingdom. Actually,
really?
In all the Magic Kingdom. Yep. The solitary bench right by the boats. Nobody's ever there. It's a nice place to sit and relax, and you can make some really wonderful memories just sitting there looking out at Seven Seas Lagoon. Samantha Venero says, Center Street off Main Street. It's that little side street to the right where they do silhouette portraits. If you go past there and stop and listen, up to the left, you'll hear music lessons. There's writing on the window to help you find it. Yep, that's what we were talking about before. And that's it. That's it for this topic.
Some of those were interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, right?
You're going to have to do some research on those.
All right. Well, you know what? It is 8:44, and I was supposed to be out of here by 8:30, so we need to wrap this up.
Let's wrap it.
That's going to do it for 2 Minutes in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And, folks, if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, please give our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, a call. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. If you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, please go to thewisdomofwalt.com to get the new book by college professor Jeffrey Barnes about Walt Disney and his journey to create Disneyland, and how you can apply those lessons to your own daily life. For our wonderful co-host here, Peter Mandel, his great comic book store, check him out at Rogue Comics at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey 07016, or go on to roguecomics.com where you can check out Pete's eBay store. For me, folks, please grab a 2 Men in the Mouse t-shirt over at Teespring, that's TeeSpring.com /WhiteDragonPN. And please also check out geekwatchtower.com for all your geek news and reviews. Pete, that about does it for this week. Any closing words?
Are you in a rush there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a rush.
Enjoy Supergirl. I hope you like it.
All right, folks. Please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. And we will see you next week on 2 Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.